So a lot of times, business owners and entrepreneurs are in our game, investors, real estate investors, they want to get into this game of like always adding more doors, adding more doors, which is cool because I'm all about expansion. I'm all about, adding more, getting as big as you possibly can. But sometimes you need to go look at what you already have and see
Man.
how you can improve those.
Bro.
You know what I mean? So that surplus of money, you can go improve your current units. Now you can charge more per night or more per month, depending on what type of rentals you're doing. And then that's going to be almost a lot of times you'll see in the long term, it could be similar to having a whole nother unit.
Hey, welcome to Uncommon, a state of mind where we debate different ways to leverage your next investment to create time freedom, legacy impact, and generational wealth so you can live that uncommon life. But in order to do that, you must be uncommon. My name is Joey, aka Mr. J. Mays.
Hey, and I'm AD, also known as AD the Fly Realtor.
Dope. I do want to give a quick tip on the STR short-term rental market. Okay. So I was actually listening to Jamie Lane, who's the chief economist at AirDNA. I was listening to his podcast. I think it's STR Data Labs. And he was just talking about, 2024 outlook and, what happened back in 2023 and, even further back. And one of the things that he said, him and his guest, I'm not sure what the guest name was. I should probably, I'll have the episode somewhere in the show notes so you guys can listen to it. He said that, back in, 2017, 2018, 2019, occupancy levels for short-term rentals hovered around the same rate, right? It wasn't until, 2021 and 2022 where things got extrapolated, for lack of a better term. You know what I mean? So due to, why. but he said that during those years, occupancy levels or occupancy rates stayed around 55%, and then afterwards, it exploded due to pent up demand during 2020 and 2021. So that kind of increased occupancy levels to levels that were kind of unseen, which made the market believe that, this was the norm for this industry, which flooded supply into, the short-term rental market. So after that flood of supply, of course, there has to be a correction, right? And just like in stocks, just like in what is it, Forex, there has to be a correction, in the market. So with that spike up in supply of short-term rentals, you have increased policies or harsher policies in short-term rentals. What I mean? And then you have oversaturation of supply in short-term rentals, which has actually dropped some of the occupancy levels. Well, not some of them, but dropped the occupancy level of the entire industry, which is actually normalizing back to that 55% range. So with that being said, it looks like for the short-term rental industry, 55% may be the natural percentage or the natural occupancy rate for short-term rentals. And people should get into this market understanding that this may be the baseline of which you should expect. Now, of course, it varies from, from region to region or from town to town, the occupancy levels of, that specific market, but we're talking about the averages, right? So just keep that in mind, especially if you want to move into the short-term rental space in the future.
So just so it's clear for anybody who may be interested in getting into short-term rentals, when you say occupancy rate, does that mean pretty much the percentage of days that is rented out in a month or?
Right.
Okay. So, all right, that makes sense. So they're saying 55% is pretty much the baseline.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody wanted to be conservative with their numbers, they would probably do what, like 50%?
Well, so that's the average of the entire industry. Now, if you wanted to get more detailed numbers for your specific area, because that's where you're going to really base your numbers off of. But if you're talking about like a macro scope, you know that the industry, you know, it's around 55% occupancy. Now, when you go into your individual market, that's going to fluctuate depending on where you are. You know what I mean? But just getting an understanding of the broad scope of this business before you get into the micro of the actual, you know, town or city you want to operate in, it's just good to know. And, you know, when things fluctuate, you know what to expect, at least as a baseline.
Okay, cool. So does AirDNA pull up stats for hotels also, or is it just for specific short-term rentals? Because I've never actually been on AirDNA.
It's usually just for STRs or short-term rentals. I never even tried to look for that.
Yeah, right.
But everything that I've seen on there has been strictly based on short-term rentals and vacation homes, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was very important to talk about and at least touch on today because, you know, I just want people to have a decent baseline of you know, what to expect. And not me, but mainly Jamie Lane. So I'm just pretty much being his little puppet right now. Regurgitating exactly what him and his colleagues have said, but it's very important information that I thought you guys should know as well. I'll have that episode attached into our show notes so you guys can check it out if you like.
That's cool. So then what are some other things that people need to factor into their numbers when they're looking at short-term rentals? You know what I mean? Outside of maybe occupancy. So, all right, let me give you a scenario. So I'm in... what's the place? Let's say I'm at the Ozarks.
Okay.
You know the Ozarks, like the show?
Up, yeah.
Yeah. So let's say I got a property at the Ozarks, and then based on the season, I don't know when their high season is. I would assume it's summer,
right?
But then I know they have stuff going on in winter too, don't they, or whatever it is. So let's say it's summer. How am I going to factor in the high season to the low season? You know, like, how do I average that out for the year? Do I just take like my highs from the summer and my lows from the winter and then average that out?
Pretty much.
And then that's my year projection?
Pretty much. So you'll take that and then you'll also take into account like any big events that are happening in that town. because sometimes it may be a slow season, but maybe there's like a national, I don't know, like parade or street dance or something going on in that area that brings a lot of tourism to that space. So you would factor that in as well.
That's true, because even in LA and Inglewood, like recently in 2023,
yeah,
like Taylor Swift came for like, I think she had like 6 concerts at SoFi Stadium, which is where the Rams play. And then Beyonce came, she had like 4 shows too. Each of those occurrences, hotels and Airbnbs were through the roof because what was happening at that time? My parents were coming in town a lot. I think because we're expecting my second son, so we're having like baby showers. It was around my first son's birthday. Like there's just, for whatever reason, they were coming to LA a lot, and the hotels and short-term rentals were just crazy. Like, you know, they come to LA all the time. They're always flying in, so they have a good idea what they're going to spend.
Mm-hmm.
But at these times, the numbers were crazy, but that's because they knew Beyonce was going to be in town, so they're like, all right, it's time to run it up.
Right. And exactly that. Also for LA folks, you know the Olympics are coming up soon.
Yeah.
And coming up in LA soon. So if you don't already have property around, you know, LA, at least the outskirts or maybe in LA, you know, a lot of my mentors got properties there preparing for that. And this is years in advance.
Now, you know what's crazy? I'm glad you brought that up. I was talking to... I don't want to say a friend of mine. He's not my friend. But, you know, like I...
It's not even beef.
I just don't want to play up like I got big friends and big circles type thing. But I guess he's an acquaintance, but he has a lot of units. He inherited most of them from his family, but he has... I don't know if he has over 1,000 doors, but,
that's
you
dope.
Know, exactly, a lot. And in L.A., which is an even bigger deal to some degree. But that's one thing he actually brought up, that because I think they're all long-term rentals. Mm-hmm. He was saying that he's going to have a good amount of them. He's going to convert a lot of them, like, by then. I think he said 30 to 40% he's going to convert to short-term rentals.
Smart.
In time for that. And then also they're doing a lot of upgrades to the public transit. So I actually just saw a video of the inside of the new metro station at LAX. So this might sound like code to a lot of you, but LA, we're known for a lot of people driving. Like, we're one of the metros that actually traditionally never really had a good public transportation system.
Right.
But now it's something they have been working on a lot more. And then even now, because the Olympics are coming, they're doing even more, because you can't have a bunch of people in today's day and age trying to drive around or do Uber. And plus, we have so much traffic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They got to improve the city plans and the city organization for not just the residents, but for what's to come. So it's really good to look at what's going on in your city or in your region or in the prospective city or regions to see how that may affect your investment. We've actually talked about this.
We have touched on it.
Yeah, but it's a really good thing to do, like you said. I'm glad you even brought that up, because I'm sure there's a lot of people doing a lot of things getting ready for these Olympics, because it's a big deal.
It's
because
huge.
Yeah, because it's going to be, is it three different North American cities or four different?
I don't know.
It's something like that, yeah. But a portion of it's going to be in L.A.
Yeah.
So wherever you are, whatever the event may be, just make sure you're in position for it, because I guarantee you, anytime something's going on, somebody somewhere is making money. So if you can find a way to be in the middle of that, you know, exchange of money, the better for you, the better for your family.
Yeah.
You know, that's really what it's about.
Big time.
So, okay. So then back in regards to short-term rentals.
Yeah.
So one thing,
Well, I did want to finish answering your question. So the next part I did want to answer is, yeah, you take into event, you take into account the events that are going to happen in the city that could spike, you know, occupancy levels. But that's, you know, on the bright side. Now, we also have to take into consideration, you know, the not so bright side. Like, maybe you also have to take into consideration, you know, maybe possible property damages and maybe a pot of cash, or what you would call it is capex account.
Yeah,
right?
Okay.
You know what
that's
I mean?
What I
and you would definitely want to plan, or at least start saving for that just in case. And don't get me wrong, SCRs do have short-term rental insurance that you should have. Usually there are deductibles, you know, unless if you have air cover, you could, you know, mess with that. But say you're taking a direct booking and you're going straight through your insurance, you have deductibles that you may have to pay. So one thing that I'm trying to practice, or I'm getting my business especially set up for this year, is making sure we have enough money for at least a deductible amount for each unit moving forward. And then we add cash to that throughout
just
the year.
Growing,
and, you know, and at the end of the year, if we haven't used it all, well, then we can disperse it however we want, and then, you know, still have a portion going into next year.
That's dope. That's dope. So right now, for you personally, do you automatically have reserves coming out for like each unit?
Right. That's what we're setting up.
Okay.
So we're I mean, of course, pockets of cash go to specific things. And one of my, so I have a couple of different short-term rental businesses.
Yeah.
I do that.
Okay.
And in a couple of my businesses, there's one of them that I'm trying to transition to doing, because
okay.
I have partners and things like that.
I hear you.
That we're trying to transition to do that now.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Do that as soon as possible.
Bro.
Do it as soon as possible, because in the long-term rental world, that's in my spreadsheet. You know, like, there's a specific amount of the incoming rent that goes straight to reserves, another amount that goes straight to CapEx. You know, I believe for most people, it's usually 3% for reserves. So it doesn't sound like a lot, but when it builds up over time, that makes it easier to absorb something that was unexpected.
Right.
You know what I mean? Whether it's a pipe bursting or somebody ran through the wall, whatever it may be, you know, that helps a lot.
Yeah.
If you, you know, just have a chunk of money to the side.
Exactly.
And this is really good for, see, you just heard Joey, who has multiple years in short-term rentals. One of his short-term rental businesses doesn't yet have reserves operating. So this is a reminder for all of you. Start how you want to finish. You know, you recently said, think with the, operate with the end in mind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you know that that's eventually how you want to do it, that's something that you should start off doing from the jump. Like, whatever it is, short-term rental, long-term rental, medium-term rental, just make sure that everything that you think you want to be doing, implement that also, because, you know, it's a big deal. And, you know, it's the money's going to have to come from somewhere.
It is.
You know what I mean? And you definitely don't want to have to sell, be in position to have to sell a property or have to make a decision because you didn't have the capital to fix an issue.
Right.
Because now you're already at a disadvantage and you won't be able to get top dollar for that asset.
Right. So so part of the reason why I'm in the position that I'm in is because we do have short-term rental insurance, and all we would have to do is pay the deductible, and we have money for the deductible,
okay.
Right? But, you know what I'm saying? Just so the thing that I'm doing is being over-prepared for the deductible.
Gotta right? be.
So, like, knowing that it's $1,000 deductible, for some, I know for one, it's $1,000 deductible, at least the one that I have with one insurance. For the other insurance that we have for a different business, it's a $500 deductible per unit, right? And just making sure that you have that and you're able to deploy that if need be is important. But having surplus, you know what I mean? Just in case you have to take care of a huge issue that, you know, you don't want to wait for insurance to take care of.
Right.
You can do that and then be reimbursed by insurance. That way, you know, you can still operate as usual without taking too much of a hit during that time.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So,
and you know what else? You just remind me of this. Mm. You know what else having a surplus of reserves does? So a lot of times, you know, business owners or entrepreneurs or in our game, investors, real estate investors, they want to get into this game of like always adding more doors, adding more doors,
right.
Which is cool because I'm all about expansion. I'm all about, you know, adding more, you know, getting as big as you possibly can. But sometimes you need to go look at what you already have,
man,
and see how you can improve those.
Bro.
You know what I mean? So that surplus of money, you can go improve your current units. Now you can charge more per night or more per month, depending on what type of rentals you're doing. And then that's going to be, almost a lot of times you'll see in the long term, it could be similar to having a whole nother unit or a whole nother property. So people that's something people devalue way too often where, okay, like, yeah, be in the mindset of getting more doors, but you also need to go, you know, either fix what's wrong with your current units or just improve them, even if there's nothing wrong. I was listening to Rob Abasolo, you know, who he's a big short-term rental guy from Bigger Pockets, and he had a property. He went and installed a pickleball court. But why did he install a pickleball court? Because he's trying to get the high-end luxury people. And the high-end people, they're going to rent that property just for having a pickleball court.
Oh,
and they're willing to pay $100, $150, $200 more per night just for this pickleball court. So the money for that pickleball court was probably like $40,000. Which, okay, he could maybe more. He could use that towards another property. Yeah, you can do that. Or I can just improve this property here without adding another, you know, I don't want to call it a headache, but, you know, another unit or another property to think about. Without adding that, you just added more money to your pocket. Like, you know, people don't think about that enough. Like, when I listen to a lot of dudes talking about getting units, I'm like, yeah, but you're bleeding money, man, off the units you already got. Like,
bro,
go fix those issues. You know what I mean? Like, we don't get into that enough.
You just these past couple episodes, you just been laying bars down.
No, you know, like, I've had a lot of time to go in the hyperbolic time chamber and think. And when I came out, I had some stuff to say.
Bars. Bro, you know what? Because it's funny. I'm actually doing that exact thing.
Okay.
And that's why I'm like so like in tune with you right now, because that's exactly what we're doing in one of the businesses that I have right now.
It's like, if you, yeah, we're making money, but there's places where we could improve to a point where, you know what I'm saying? I'll encompass this. Like, direct bookings, period. Like, for sure, the short-term rental space, relying on these OTAs means that you're getting a decent cut taken out of your profit every single guest, right? The more direct bookings that you have, especially depending on how long it is, you're saving hundreds of dollars while still, you know, charging your potential guests less, because, you know, in that gap that, you know, Airbnb or VRBO or Booking.com they take, there's so much money to be made.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And that, it may seem like chump change at the time or whatever you think it is, but it adds up over time for the entire year. And I'm like, okay, let's not. I was talking to my team where we've had several conversations like, I don't care about adding units. Let's bleed these, not bleed these units, but let's squeeze these units.
Exactly.
Like, dry them out for every single dollar. Like, let's wring these units out for every single dollar that they can make. And then after that, we'll know that we're ready to grow, because, you know, we'll be making quite more. We'll be making.
Exactly.
I don't want to say double, but we'll be making like a decent amount more than what we usually do.
Right.
And we'll be able to implement that with the next proper
and moving forward.
You know what I'm saying?
And see, a lot of people don't think about it like that, where it's like, no, you got to squeeze this fruit like dry before you decide you want to go do something else. Because if how do I want to put this? You know, say you having issues with your wife or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you guys move from your house to the next house, but you didn't fix the issues. Like, the issues aren't all of a sudden going to evaporate. The issues are still there.
Yeah.
So you went and bought a whole bunch of more units, but then the stuff that's causing you to lose money in your current units is still prevalent.
That part.
So all you're going to do is buy more units and keep losing money.
Not only is he giving y'all STR advice and real estate advice, he's giving you marriage advice right now too, because
that's that multifaceted multifaceted.
I'll be real, because that's so real. Like, some people, and you know, people in relationships, oh, all we need to do is have a baby, or all we need to do is move to the next house.
That's the most dangerous.
Yeah, thing. Or all we need to do is make more money. Well, no, there is a fundamental there's a fundamental issue in your relationship that needs to be fixed, so that you can enjoy, you know, at least enjoy where you're at, so you can enjoy those other things even more.
And
you know what I'm saying?
And you know, to continue with the metaphor or the comparison here, all that stuff does, when you don't address those issues, you just kick the can down the road for when the issues hit you in the face. That's all you're doing. So, okay, you wanna skip by the fact that this unit is bleeding you money. That's cool. Go ahead and skip past that. And then when it really hits, is going to be such an issue that now you don't know what to do with it.
You're forced to sell,
or you're forced to get rid of the unit or the property or whatever it may be. Or you have to rent it out at a substantially lower amount than you would have wanted, and you still have to figure out how to fix it. I'm not saying all the time the answer is to improve the property.
No.
But it is a solution. It is an option. You know, sometimes we need to look at that more.
The stronger the foundation. And this is just a universal fact. No matter what we're talking about, like, we could talk about building a house, we could talk about building a relationship, we could talk about building a business. The stronger the foundation, and the more that the inner workings are the tighter the inner workings are, you know what I mean? The easier it's going to get to that next level. But if the foundation is not rock solid, the foundation isn't put on solid ground, you know what I'm saying? You try to build a house on top of it, it's going to crumble every single time, no matter what metaphor or what real life experience we're talking about. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's just what it is.
That's good. So I'll go
ahead.
Well, I had another question in regards to short term rentals. So let's say the subject property or the subject area, it's a place that, like we were talking about, has a busy season. It has a slower season.
Right.
Are you looking for somewhere where either way you can still make it make sense, Or are you looking for somewhere where when it's not in the busy season, there are like events and things going on that can be beneficial for somebody?
I would always go for the sure thing. So like, I would always go for, no matter what, it makes sense. I always, personally, I always operate with the worst case scenario in mind.
Yeah, you know, very smart.
I don't advise people to look at, you know, what's the highest season and make a decision. I don't advise people to go off the greatest times and make a decision, because that could be very, very daunting. Right. It could be very misleading.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to times that are difficult and times that aren't so healthy, yeah, I guess, in the market or whatnot. You know,
and they call that a speculation.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's kind of how the 07, 08 real estate crash happened.
Bro.
You know what I mean? People were expecting things to just keep on going on instead of looking at the data and buying real estate intelligently.
One of the things that my mentor taught me was, like, when operating, you want to go to, like, okay, how much is it going to cost to cover all of my expenses, and how much would I need to charge per night up to 24 days? You're not even using the entire 30-day calendar. If within 24 days at your lowest rate, you can cover all expenses, that's a good investment. At least in the short-term rental space, that's what I was taught. That's how I run my numbers, and that's how I operate. A minimum amount that I'm charging to cover all of my expenses, so say that's like $99 a night. And at the end of $99 a night for 24 days, it covers my expenses, all of my expenses, and it can self-sustain. Well, that's a good investment, because we're expecting to have better days than that. But we know at our baseline, at our lowest day, we can charge this. Not at the full 30 days and still make money, we're cooking with.
So do you have units that get booked for like literally every day in a month?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, that's crazy. So pretty much that's the type of situation where when someone moves out, the cleaner has to come right after.
Well, yeah, we have bookings where, you know, right after somebody checks out, that, you know, within a few hours, somebody's checking in. So our cleaners will come, you know, at the time scheduled, which is around 11 a.m. They'll turn the unit over and it's ready for our next guest at 4.
Got you.
You know what I mean? So definitely we run all of our worst numbers. And the thing is, you know, it's great to run like that, because there's very little times where we're going to be charging like $100 a night or $99 per night or whatever they come out to. And there's also very little chance that we don't get 24 days booked. You want to make sure that it's very hard to lose money.
Right. Yeah. Like what I'm hearing is pretty much you're doing your best to be conservative.
Very.
You know what I mean? Because, yeah. And that's good, because you don't want to get, like you said previously, like you don't want to be in the mind state that you're operating on what the absolute best that property could produce it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because if you're stuck to that, then you're really stuck to that. And as soon as it's just even an okay month wouldn't be considered a good month for you, because your numbers were based off the absolute best.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, no, that's so true. And another thing I like about what you were saying is that you're looking forward to at least cover all the expenses. And this is so dope, because this is how I think about it in the multifamily space, heavy, where, you know, a lot of people are like heavy, like concerned about cash flow, which I completely get it. Why wouldn't I want extra money coming to my pocket?
Right.
But really, one thing I've noticed, not just like for a lot of the wealthiest clients, they don't always want cash flow. They just want a property that will cover itself, or in the industry, it's called debt service.
Mm-hmm.
They just want it to debt service, because if in the worst of times it could debt service, that means as soon as it even gets a little bit better, I got money.
You're making money.
But then no matter what, I still have that asset.
Exactly.
So in your case, in arbitrage, I still have that unit.
Yeah.
Or if you're doing STRs and you own the property, yeah, you still have your asset. Mm-hmm. But it's like, that's the best thing. You still have that asset. So as long as you can weather when things are slow, then you always have a good chance to look forward to when things pick up.
Yeah.
Because if everything is stabilized when things are slow, I really want you guys to get this. If everything is stabilized and things are slow, it only needs to go in the positive direction a little bit to make a difference, just a little bit. So, you know, like, really think about that, because I don't want, especially beginners, I don't want us to be stuck to worrying about cash flow so much. I don't want you to be.
Yeah, you wanna break down your deals to where it's hard to fail. You know what I'm saying? Where it's very hard to fail. Like I said earlier, I knew that if I was charging base price, there's very little times that I'm going to be charging base price and only occupying 24 days. Those two factors are usually, they don't meet. You know what I'm saying? If I'm charging base price, all my days are booked out. Or if I'm booked less than 24 days, they're higher than base price.
Right.
So having those two factors working for me, I'm like, okay, I think I should be good with this investment. And that's how I invest in short-term rentals, at least arbitrage units. And I'm sure that works with the other units as well. But yeah, it's very huge, just in case you were thinking that. So if you were thinking about getting into the short-term rental industry, think with that in mind. What's going to be all of your expenses? We're talking about all of them, like, your internet, your rent, your insurance, any entertainment that you want to supply. Out of 24 days, what's going to be the cost that you need to charge in order to meet that base price and cover all your expenses? You know what I'm saying? And if you do your numbers that way and they fit into that parameter, you have a good investment, in my opinion. And that's how I've done my numbers. And that's why we're still doing business till this day.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Okay.
You know what I mean?
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. That was a cool rundown for short-term rentals. We got to do something like that again.
Yes.
But
I think we're going to end it here. I was going to talk about habit stacking.
Yeah. I like the direction we're going.
But so
I was like, let's keep that.
Let's just end it here. Man, if there's going to be a B for today, what would the B for today be?
I mean, to me,
be ready to pivot, because we definitely just pivoted.
Right. And be in the game. Really. Yeah. Like, that's really it. Be in the game, because like we said, if you could weather the slow times, then you at least can look forward to the big time. So if you're in the game, you know good times are coming. If you're in the game doing what you're supposed to be doing.
That part.
But if you're in the game, you know the good times are coming. But you know who's not going to get slow times or good times or any time? The dude on the sidelines. That's who's not going to get, he's not going to weather the slow times, and he's not going to get any of the benefit of the hot season. So, you know what I mean? Be in the game.
Be in the game. Be ready to pivot. We gave you two today. Be in the game. Be ready to pivot and be uncommon, guys.
All right.
Stay up.
Uncommon State of Mind was hosted by my best friend, Joey, and myself, AD. Two guys who started at the back of the queue in real estate, and now we want to give back by showing others the way to get in through the front door. Feeling inspired and looking to get your investment portfolio up and running so you can join the party in style? Hit us up at info@uncommonestateofmind.com and we can start talking. If you enjoy the show, please spread the word and show some love in the ratings so we could climb those charts together. Until next time, be uncommon.